Hi, this is Cedric, and you're now listening to The Awkward Podcast. And on this episode, we talk about the journey to finding your authentic self.
I don't think I should say that. No, really, I don't think it's appropriate. Well, you've convinced me. Well, this is awkward. You're now listening to The Awkward Podcast, where we have honest and unfiltered conversations on all.
So I finally made it to episode 10, which I'm super excited about. And this is the first time that actually Dorian's not here, but I have another very good friend of mine that I've known just like this, probably the same amount of time. I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, but you've known Dorian longer.
Yeah, but I knew you before I had a car, which means I had to be like 15. So we have Edmund, and I'm so excited Edmund's here because Edmund is honestly one of the most authentic people that I personally know. And I love that about him, and I can't wait till you guys love him as well. So, hey, Edmund.
Hi, what's going on, guys?
How are you feeling today?
I'm good. You know, today's a good day. I don't know. I'm just feeling like a beautiful creature.
I want you to, I don't want to be awkward and, because it's not an interview.
Well, the thing is, the podcast is called Awkward. So, what's more than not to be awkward? So, I mean, just make it funny and let's make it awkward. Let's, you know, be ourselves.
I want you, I don't know if it's too soon for us to jump deep into the topic, but somebody wrote in and had a question about how do they discover their authentic self. And I just thought you were the perfect person to bring up for the episode. Because I tell you, Edmund is like my journal. Like when it comes down to something serious, I'm like, I have to call Edmund because Edmund is like, he won't judge me. It's not that other people judge me, but Edmund is different. It is so different, and you see that Edmund is authentic even at times where I'm like, how is he doing that? It's making me nervous.
Think about it. Well, with you, I'm comfortable. So it's easier for me to say things to you. It's just a no judgment zone. I'm not going to judge you. Don't judge me. You know, I feel like, please don't judge me. But, you know.
What do you think played a part in you being so authentic? Because I feel like, even younger, you're like, I hate feeling like I'm doing this to fit in. And then it was like.
But see, the thing about it is I felt that way. And then the very thing I hated was the very thing I started doing. Like, I lost that. To be honest with you, like, I kind of lost a part of my authenticity because I molded myself to fit in certain groups where I knew I did not belong, or at least I felt like I did not belong in these groups. But they accepted me and they wanted me to be a part of this group because I guess I fit the status quo. So it's like I had, in order for me to feel like I fit in, I started doing what they do and behaving how they behaved, and it made me feel so uncomfortable.
And just so the listeners aren't lost, when we say authentic, what we mean by authentic is you act in a way that shows your true self and how you feel, rather than like certain sides of yourself that make other people comfortable. So when you get around them, like what I do, and I call that like adaptive self, because I adapt to the environment, even though in my head I'm like, this is not who I am 100%.
Well, my mama always told me there's a time and place for everything. Like, you know, when you're at work, you have to act a certain way. When you're in school, you act a certain way. When you're out with your friends, you act a certain way. When you're around a whole bunch of strangers, you act a certain way. So, I mean, there is no one, I don't believe there's no one who's 100% their authentic self at all times. It's just, hey, I need to, you know, I'm in a professional setting and let me be professional. Not saying let me be fake, but, you know, the other side, they don't need to see. With you, you seem all sides, professional, crazy, dumb, you don't see everything. So I'm not really afraid to be myself around you because it's like, if I can't be true around you, then who can I be true around? Yeah, we have been through some things. So I think because we have been through some things and I've let my guard down around you and you have not used that against me, I feel comfortable being me around you.
I think, but it's like, we live in a world where like the media controls everything.
That's
true. It tells us who to be,
how to
you act. Know what we're supposed to want, how we're supposed to express, like what's acceptable, and if you act a little crazy, you need to go on Dr. Phil. You know, it's like, yeah, this is where we live at. How do you separate from that? Because it's like, even in your head, when you're talking to me, I'm like, you're like, yeah, this is what I did, and I just need to accept it. I'm like, how are you doing that? What did you have to tell yourself? What process did you have to take to get to that point to say, this is who the fuck I am? I don't give a fuck what a bitch think about me. Because that's how you are. I'm telling you, Tyler, you be like, I don't give a fuck.
I just don't. I don't be caring about a lot of stuff. Like, I have a very national attitude. But I definitely agree. The media does, it's like the guideline to what to wear, what's popular, how to act, you know, what's trending. Everyone wants to trend. Everyone wants to be in that circle, I guess.
But you don't care about that stuff.
I don't watch TV like that. So I don't be knowing what's going on. Like, honestly, truly, I don't really be knowing what's going on in the world until somebody tells me that. And if I'm interested in it, then I'll do some research on it. But most of the time, I don't be interested in that shit.
So you don't know anything about Kanye West running for president?
No, I have heard about that. I do watch YouTube, and you know, some YouTubers, they talk about that. Like, so I have heard about that. But at the same time, I don't give a fuck if he's running for president. I ain't give a fuck if Donald Trump ran for president. Like, go for it.
You do vote, though, don't you?
I didn't vote for Donald Trump or anything. The last person I voted for was Obama. And the only reason I voted for him because he's black. I don't really too much care about politics because they're all puppets to me.
Wow. So you don't vote at all? You didn't vote in the last election?
No.
But okay, well, we're going to end this episode. We are at the 6-minute mark. Edmund is actually the person that got Donald Trump in the office. So
No.
Guys, send the hate mail. Let me give you the email account. Your mom voted for him?
She did. Wow. I know, right?
Ooh, this episode. I love your mom. She doesn't seem like she would vote. Who was he? I forgot who he was running against. Oh.
I don't think she wanted Hillary to be in.
Because it was office. A woman?
I don't know, but she's a woman. Like, mom, you should have voted for Hillary. She's like, I don't know. I just wanted to vote for Trump. I was like, you're part of the problem.
No, you. She voted for Trump, and then you didn't vote at all. So both of them were actually votes for Trump.
No, I just.
Well, I guess you're not authentic as I thought. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Wow. Do you think your mom will vote for him again after all the stuff he's did? This does not matter with the episode, guys. This is me being nosy and being in his mom's business just because I want to. So bear with me for like at least 10 more seconds. You think your mom going to vote for him again?
I don't think so.
Does she? She watches the things that he's doing, right?
Yeah.
And she says it's awful. Or she's like, yes.
My mom is older. Politics don't affect her either. I think she does it for fun, honestly and truly. I really do.
So you've never cared about politics?
No. I'm okay. A poor black man. I'm not, you know, I'm not middle class. I'm very like high low class. You know, I'm from the ghetto.
What's a high low class?
I'm bougie though. I'm bougie, but I'm from the hood.
I eat caviar in the ghetto. That I got from Save-A-Lot.
I sip tea with my pinky finger.
But it's going to be in the Arizona can. Yeah, look, 99 cent printed on the can. But guess what? I had some tea today.
I did.
Because I'm still classy. Have you learned anything new like during the quarantine?
I've actually learned a lot about myself. Well, no, I'm not saying I've learned a lot, but I'm learning a lot about myself during the quarantine. I'm a truck driver, so I'm always on the road. I'm always on the go. And being in a truck by yourself all the time, it's like, child, I be in my head so much to where it's like, I think I'd be going crazy. But I've learned that I have a lot to work on when it comes to me. Like, I have a lot of evaluating to do as far as like, my social circle, where my goals are, what it is I want to obtain from life, and what type of legacy I want to leave behind.
Piggyback off what you're saying, do you feel like that cycle ever ends for anybody? I have my views on it, but like, do you think that stops? Are you always constantly looking to improve yourself throughout life? Because I feel like it never stops. It's not like we're a caterpillar and then eventually we're a butterfly. It's like, we just keep going, trying to be a little bit better than we were yesterday.
I don't.
You don't? You think it'll eventually end?
No, like, I don't think about it. Like, I never really thought. I did think about it in the past, but I never really, like, pondered on it, if that made sense. Like, I never, like, okay, I need to change. Oh, well, but before I change, let me go ahead and drink this alcohol and smoke this weed and do my drugs. And, girl, I'll change tomorrow, girl. Tomorrow's a new day. Like, now,
it's so
like,
you have had dark days because you just said drinking, doing
days
drugs, so.
Or months or years. How deep do you want to go?
All of it. You know, this, like you told me, this is awkward. We're trying to We want to be honest with everybody. We want to let them in.
I'm talking to you.
Talk to me, I get nervous, and it's like, okay, be authentic. But I know how authentic Edmund can get, and I'm like, oh shit,
it's different.
Oh shit,
it's different for me. I'm talking to someone who don't know me versus I feel comfortable talking to you. So it's, you know,
let me remind them before you start, this is a not safe for work podcast. I know Edmund, I know where this is about to go. This is not safe for work. Your fucking kids should not be listening. Anybody under 13 to 17, what's the age you can listen to curse words? 13? I don't even feel comfortable with 13.
I know kids that's 5 years old cussing.
We don't want them listening to what you're about to say.
No. Okay, if you're not old enough to buy alcohol, please don't listen to this. And you know, the age to buy tobacco is now 21 in some states. So if you're not 21, please do not listen to this.
Yeah, knowing how Edmund talks, I say be at least 25. Be at least 25 and have an open mind.
Please have an open
mind. Because Edmund is about to really take y'all on a roller coaster. That's why I'm so excited he's here, because he's like that little bit of spice that you add on top of stuff. Like,
it was a pepperica.
Yeah, it's like, okay, can I have a pizza with cayenne pepper? You know, like, Edmund is always that little bit of extra spice. And, yeah, Edmund, tell us.
Okay, just a disclaimer. I'm tuning everyone out. I know we're on a podcast, but I'm tuning everyone out.
I know how you do these things. I think this is how you find your authentic self, too. You say you talk to yourself a lot, and, like, you've really searched the depths of your soul and, like, stared in the mirror and had those self-acceptance moments. Like, I accept myself regardless of circumstance, and I'm going to deal with the cards I were dealt.
Yeah.
I think I said that all type of backwards, but whatever. Yeah. It's Edmund about to talk. I don't matter right now. I'm a peasant in this fucking village right now.
Shut up.
But yeah.
Okay, so you've known I've had some dark days. And I think one of my darkest days was November of 2011 when I got the call from PG County. Well, it wasn't PG County, but I can't remember that county. Health department. When I had, you know, there's like, hey, you have, you've been in contact with someone who's been HIV positive, and we need you to come in and get tested. And I was, you know, me being me at the age, I was 21 years old, I didn't think too much of it. I was like, I ain't got it, whatever, whatever. 2 weeks later, I got another call, you need to come in the office. And I was like, set me down. Hey, we just want to let you know your results came positive. And I said my whole life just like ended that day.
I can only imagine.
Because it's like, I had, like, being at that age, I had just moved to Virginia. I was in school. I had a job. Like, everything was going.
A really good job.
Yeah, everything was going so great for me. And then to find that news, I kind of, like, gave up on life. I dropped out of school. You know, I just stopped caring. I became, like, very, very depressed. But
what did you feel like? This is, and again, I'm telling them to be like, because I'm getting all emotional. But at that moment, like after you found out in your home, what was like, how did you feel in that moment? Like what was going through your head? Because that is.
Well, I felt like.
And I don't want to sound ignorant for any listener that's, you know.
I was ignorant at this time. I felt at that moment that there was no hope for love for me anymore. Like I felt like, oh God, I can't like be with somebody because I'm positive, and now I have to like settle for these. Because I thought being raised up, the stigma of being gay is, hey, you're gay, you're going to catch AIDS, and you're going to die. That's all you hear from, especially being in a black community who's not ignorant, being around a whole bunch of ignorant black people who doesn't know anything. And so that thought kept repeating in my head, like, okay, I don't live up to the stigma of I'm gay, I don't call HIV. I'm going to just die, like, whatever, you know, so let me just.
And then before then, like, and just like every person before they're educated, we're taught to be so, like, scared and, like, this is, like, the end. Like,
well, I lived life fearlessly up until then, and then I kind of, like, I don't think I lived life
fearless,
at all.
More fearless after, to me.
No, I just thought, I think I stopped caring. I just became empty inside, honestly. Nobody would have known that because I've always, like, I try my hardest to be positive about it. No pun intended. But I tried my hardest.
Wrong time for a joke. Wrong time.
I'm sorry.
I think so. I think, like, with you finding your authentic self, it was like a lot of, I have to learn to love myself again.
Yeah, like I find like my the way I deal with things is I'll deal with things two ways. Either I don't deal with them or I make a joke about it. Those are two ways I deal with something. Like, you know, let's just play it off, let's joke about it, or you know what? It's not visible. I don't see it. I don't care. I'm not dealing with it. Put it in the back of my head and continue to live life. And I think that's what I did. I put it in the back of my head and I continue to live life as best as I can. But with that came depression. And then, you know, everything got better. It got better. And then it got worse again.
How did it get worse?
I ended up getting laid off of my job, and I had two choices. I could have moved in with a friend, and, you know, picked up my life where it stopped,
mm-hmm.
or I could have moved home. And I ended up moving home because that was safe for me. And that was honestly, I'm not going to say it's the worst choice I made, but it was not the best choice I made, because that, you thought that I was depressed. Oh, baby, I was so depressed when I came home
So you came back home from Virginia?
Yeah.
To your hometown?
Yeah, to my hometown. And
with nothing, basically, because you didn't have a job anymore.
But I got a job. That's the reason why I moved
okay.
back.
Okay, you moved back for the job. Okay, I'm following you now. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I moved back because I got a job opportunity, because I couldn't find a job up there not that was going to pay what I was making, mm-hmm. Especially with no college degree. I did have college education. But with that, here's
you laughing. I'm like, I don't think anybody's home laughing right now. I think they're like,
I'm sorry,
listening. Like,
but this is funny. Okay,
I'm glad you can laugh.
In my mind, I end up staying with my dad for a week,
mm-hmm.
And then I left my dad.
Were you open to your family about what had happened in Virginia?
No, not really. What you mean?
Like, what started the depression?
No. Yes. No, at first, and then yes.
So you told your dad, too?
No.
Just your mom?
My mom. But okay. I think my dad already knew because I was under his insurance, and I know when those bills came in, he was like, what the fuck is these bills about? But, you know, I still never had that conversation with my dad. Like, me and my dad aren't close. Like, I love him, but we're not close. And I say that, like, this is why I'm laughing, because I chose in my head, like, you know what? I gave my mom a hell for 18 years of my life. Let me just give my dad a hell for at least a year or whatever. That's why I ended up moving back with him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I moved back with him for a week. And then I got the news, like, basically he kicked me out without telling me. He's kicking out his girlfriend as she approached me. And I ended up cussing both of their ass out. And I ended up staying with my mom. And it's like, my dad has like a strained relationship. I still love him, but I can't forgive him. Let me say that. I forgive him for not being man enough to talk to me. And for, mm-hmm. you know, I had to shoot the messenger and him. But that was a long time ago.
I understand. Like, this is the first time asking you for anything. And you can't
ask
do that for me.
Nothing. Like, I don't ask my dad for anything unless I truly need it. Like, dad, I've never asked to stay with you. And the one time I did ask you for something, it's not like I didn't have the wherewithal to get what I need to get. I came here, I got a job, I just need to make enough money so I can move out and get on my own.
But which, your family's pretty accepting of who you are, right?
My mom's side is, my dad's side is.
To a certain extent.
To a certain extent.
Okay, I knew that's where you were heading with that.
Yeah.
So continue. I'm sorry I'm interrupting, asking questions. I know people want to hear, because you said things got worse, so you can go.
Yeah. Well, you know the story, so they don't know the story. So, you know, if I'm missing anything, you know, I can stop me so I can fill it in.
I'm not supposed to know the story, though, because I think I need to listen from a place as if I don't know, because everybody else will be like, why are they just going back and forth?
You're right.
And he already knows. So that's why I'm letting you talk, letting you explain. And I'm actually acting like I'm just brand new to all this. I just met you. So you can continue.
Yeah, we know each other for 10 plus years, but you just met me today. This is the real me. Mask off. But
don't take that mask off with all this corona stuff going on. You take it off if you want to.
But, yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. Forgive me, y'all. I'm new to this podcast type thing. So yeah, but with that, I moved in with my mom, and then I was depressed because I feel like my dad doesn't love me, even though he says he's loved me. But the one time I needed him, he doesn't love me. So that got into depression. I didn't want to let my friends know that I'm back in town because I felt like a failure. It's like I moved. I was doing so great for myself. I was the one kid that made it out the hood to do better with their life. Mm-hmm. And when I ran into like a stumbling block, I immediately came back because it was safe. I played it safe instead of like, you know what? Get over this roadblock and keep pushing. It's going to make you a better person. I was like, you know what? Fuck this shit. I don't give a fuck. I give up on life. Like, I'm just finna just whatever. So I end up being reacquainting myself with old associates who were not the best influence for me. I started doing hard drugs. Before, I was just doing weed. When I moved back, I started doing coke.
Cocaine,
yeah. I started doing crystal meth, Tina. And that's when my life was just like, what the hell?
What did those... I've always wanted to ask somebody this question. So please, if I'm asking, being a little too nosy, I'm going too far, just tell me, how did you say yes in that time frame? Like, how could someone convince you to do it if you're like, I know this is bad? I always want to ask people that.
No one can convince me to do anything that I do not want to do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do it. I wanted to try. I wanted to, like, you know, I was at the point where I said, you know what? How can this get any worse? Like, I'm already beyond the lowest point I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been this low before. How worse can it get? And God said, I'm going to show you. Want to know how worse it can get? I can show you how worse it can get. And it was weird. And then, like,
did those drugs numb everything?
To an extent, it numbed everything. And then it stopped working.
Who gave you those? Like, do you remember the people that...
Oh, I remember exactly who the people were.
And on like a...
Can I say names?
No. Okay. No. Okay. No, we're not trying to incriminate anybody.
Allegedly. No, like, okay, one of these people that I knew, like I said, they was an acquaintance of mine. We've hung out. I've never had any issues with this person. Cool person. Well... Cool, like, to this day, I still have genuine love for this person. A cool person, just like me. They took a wrong turn.
You which drug?
Cocaine. This was cocaine. Cocaine started it first.
Okay.
They took a wrong turn in life, and they never corrected their mistake and got back on the right path. I think finally they are, or at least they're trying to, I guess. I don't know. I haven't talked to them in a minute. But, you know, it's like birds of a feather flock together. It's like, well, child, if you're doing it, whatever, I guess I can do it too. It's like, it's right there. And it's like, I'm always the type of person in my mind, which is not the right way to think. I try anything once to see if I like it. And if I don't like it, then I won't do it no more. But cocaine, I liked it. Like, it was like, whoa.
How does it make you feel? People do it at, like, from what I've seen in movies, like club drugs.
That's what it is. It's a club. It's a party drug. It
keeps you up, like Red Bull or something.
Yeah, but it releases the endorphins, the happy stimulant in your brain. And it makes you just feel good. It makes you forget about your current problems, and everything is just feels good.
Listeners, because by no means is Edmund telling people to go try drugs.
No, do not.
He is saying his personal experience and what he went through. I do not want anybody listening to this to say, "Ooh, that sounds delicious." You know, like, drugs. You should not be listening to this thinking that is what you want to do. Yeah, we are just letting Edmund talk.
Yeah, I do not condone drugs at all.
Yeah, and he's telling you what it put him through. So don't, because you know somebody listening is like,
yeah,
I want some of that. You know, like, you know, people are weird like that.
Yeah, it's not good, because being in that circle of associates, because I won't never call them friends, because I don't believe my friends would ever do that. Like, my friends was like, no, that's not good. So I won't never call them friends, but they are associates. They are acquaintances. And I was at a point where it's like, whatever. And then me having like a hustle mentality, and I knew that they was hustlers as well. It's like, okay, cool. I can make money with y'all too. And
that was just the cocaine stage.
That was the cocaine stage.
So how did you...
Oh, the next stage, and I thank God.
I want to say something so that's going to sound so ignorant.
Go for it.
I feel like I shouldn't.
Go for it.
I hope this is not taken wrong, but from the things I have seen on TV, like Dateline and stuff, when I've watched specials or any documentary, it seems like certain drugs are for groups of people, and I've always seen like crystal meth. And I know everybody can do this drug, but it seems like it's predominantly like country. Is rednecks a racist term?
It's a Caucasian drug. It's a white boy drug.
Yeah, but it's not a white people drug. It's a certain group I'm talking about. I just don't know what to call them. I hope redneck's not racist.
I won't say redneck.
Anybody who thinks that's racist, my granddad is a white man, and he is My grandma says he's a redneck because he likes to ride on his thing and like the woods.
Pause. This is awkward.
Yeah, it's awkward, but
politically
correct. You're right. You're right. I just don't want anybody to listen to my ignorant bitch. You know, like, listen to me.
It's not good.
I really don't know, though. I just want to know.
I will correct you because...
You understand my question, though.
Yeah, I understand your question.
So how did you get... How did that come to you?
Funny story.
Okay. Good. You said story. I'm listening.
I got introduced to Craigslist. Thank God that the federal government took it down. I'm sorry, y'all.
You must have been abusing Craigslist.
What? Baby, when I tell you, I posted on Craigslist every day.
Every I can day. See you not clicking on. And oh, I want to buy me a car. Uh-uh. Nissan Altima, Edmund. Come take a ride.
I was definitely in the personals and Craigslist.
This is what I mean, guys, about Edmund being authentic. I know. See how he's talking about this stuff? This is like, he is not flinching. I'm over here acting like a fucking lizard. I'm like moving around, acting weird because I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe he's saying this. But this is what I mean by being authentic. Edmund lives so deep in his truth. Continue. I'm just like, my brain.
No, but like I found out about the persons on Craigslist. And this was still at the time where I was depressed. I didn't feel worthy enough to actually like go out and like find a real dude on like, you know, these apps, Jack Grind or whatever. So I was like, you know what? I'm at the bottom of the barrel. So let me just go on Craigslist. So there's some more bottom of the barrel people too.
Wow. And you make the most inappropriate jokes at the wrong time. You're like,
hey,
yeah, it was really bad. But
that was the mindset I was in. Not saying it was right, but that was the mindset I was in. So it was this dude. He hit me up. He was like, because I think in my I actually used the word, hey, looking to party or whatever, whatever. At that time, I didn't realize that that word had a different meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who actually parties with a capital T. Hit me up and he was like, hey, have you ever done such and such? I was like, no, I haven't done it. But
party with a capital T stands for, I learned this on a previous episode, stands for Tina, which is a street name for crystal meth.
Yes.
Which is what I discussed on like episode whatever, 7.
Yeah.
But you can continue.
So I was like, sure, you know, I had the mentality, I'll try anything once, whatever. And I did. And that's not a joke that you try once. That's like, you know, like, it's
how did that one make you feel?
I felt so many different ways on that drug. I felt enlightened. I felt very open, very aware, very, very horny.
I heard it's like a sex, like...
It's a party drug. It's a sex drug. And it makes you lose all your inhibitions.
So you don't care about anything?
I don't care about anything. Like... Oh, who wanna fuck? You wanna fuck? Okay, cool.
That's how it makes
your brother
feel.
Wanna fuck too? Your daddy wanna fuck?
No way.
Do your mama wanna fuck? Like,
I'm not supposed to be. I'm not ignorant. Edmund is making this a joke. But and you don't get to see him like I do right now. Yes. But you can.
No, but like, okay, with that drug, it's like heroin. It's the new age heroin. You hit it once and if you're not strong-willed and you're not in like a, you don't have a good support system, oh, you hooked. And it takes a lot for you not to, to get off of it and not to be hooked. Like with me personally, it so happens that the dude who introduced me to it was actually the dealer. So I was getting free drugs and I didn't realize I was hooked until he cut me off. And that's, and like, child, okay, well, I don't really want to pay for the drug because at that time it was expensive because it was actually the real good shit, not the shit that it got now.
What type of man brought you the drug? Like, is it like the person I'm thinking in my head? Like, they
he's
look
not like? He's not a backwood country bumpkin type person. Like, he's actually from New York. I think he's like white and Italian or something. What's it? Is it the Tiger People? With Carol Baskin?
Oh, the Tiger King.
Yeah, the Tiger. What, he was on Chris MF, right?
Oh, he was. You're absolutely right.
He's not like
Joe Baskins. No, Carol Baskins.
Carol Baskins
and Joe.
Whoever he is.
Yeah, Joe.
I've never seen
they him. They were. You're absolutely right. And he wasn't that, like him. See, that's how I thought the people looked that did it. That's what I was thinking in my head. Like, was like somebody that had money.
Yeah, he had money. Like, he had money. He had a job. He was, you know, well put together.
What type of work did he do?
He did.
Not that that matters, but I'm like, how do you, because if he was getting high, how was he functioning to go to a job?
And you know, I don't, I mean, it's possible. That is it gives you so much energy. Like, it really does give you so much energy. Like, you feel like, you know, if you get like 10 shots of Red Bull and then you drink coffee.
I would never want to feel like that.
Yeah, you're wired.
If that sounds like just the most jittery, shaken, like.
It's like, hey, how you doing? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Like 10,000 miles an hour, like, oh my God. Like, see, I'm glad, like, when I went to work doing it, I'm like, I was so glad that I was able, like, I was in a setting to where I don't have to talk to people. So they would never know I'm high. Because I'm always in, like, the back office filing paperwork. So they
didn't. How did it start bothering you, like, mentally?
Oh, it did. Like, the thing that fucked me up, can I curse?
Yeah.
I've been cursing, and I'm trying, excuse my language.
This episode is about you being, well, not you. It's about, being authentic.
Yeah.
And I think that, like I told them at the beginning, this is the perfect person to tell y'all ass how to be authentic. I told your dad at the beginning, and he's here, and you see why. Because Edmund's sitting next to me like, whatever. I don't give a fuck. And I'm sitting over here, eyes bigger than the fucking moon.
Let's take a quick break. Why don't you be authentic?
Oh, you want to put this back on me?
Yes.
It's not that I'm not authentic, so to speak. I do think how I live, and I am, it could be how I was raised with everything. I just feel like it's a time and place for everything. And I do think it limits me. I don't usually say so much. You could tell I'm getting nervous, putting me on the spot. But it's just a time and place for everything. I don't have a good answer for you. I wish I did. And I don't want to make up some lying shit while I'm on this podcast. Just off the top of my head. Because anything I told you guys that was like a good positive answer, it would be a lie. I do need to work on finding my authentic self. That is the truth. And it is what it is. It's something that I'm working with every day. And if this was a different podcast that wasn't awkward, I would have told you guys some shit like, it's a time and place and everything's good and you're supposed to, but that's not the truth. Which is why, that's why Edmund's here. I'm pointing my finger at him. Edmund is like.
It's on me. It's like, we'll get back to my story. If you want to hear the rest of my story, hit me up and I'll tell you everything.
I just feel like we live in a society that values superficial, and everybody strives for perfection, and they define success by like money and how we should live our lives and like our values every day. And I feel like I am so held down by that. Like, that's what keeps me so grounded with always being my authentic self all the time. That's the truth. And I feel like majority of people are like that. I do feel like authentic people get a lot further in life, or they become successful.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Well, I'm just saying, when I say success, I'm not saying by the standards of other people within their self.
I'll go for that.
That's what I meant. You want a karate fight?
Okay, yeah. So he doesn't look like the people off of Tiger King.
Okay, good. That is my point. I was thinking about the people off Tiger King, like, just, they look kind of dirty. just telling the truth, like, I was thinking about, like, them, like Joe.
Right.
That was in my head. So thank you for that.
Right. But I think the turning point for me, to try to get back on track was when I had an episode to where I flipped out, and it was like very, very scary. It was very scary. It was like
flipped out.
Imagine, picture this.
I'm sorry. When I hear flipped out, I always think about the Incredible Hulk and just him tearing up everything. So, but yeah.
Picture this, the Blair's Project running through the woods, like thinking that somebody's out to get me and chasing me.
Oh, you had a mental.
I'm trying to think of what
that's so scary.
Yeah, it was very scary. And that was
so like, the drugs do make you paranoid.
I had contracted, it was drug induced psychosis. That's what it was. To where there are things, words, and scenarios and events that trigger me to where I disassociate myself with everything, and I become very paranoid. I think that everything's about me. And once I realized that, you know what, you have to change, because they're going to either put you in a psych ward or you're going to end up hurting yourself. Because
how the fuck do you change mentally, though? Because when people snap, they snap. Like, how did you have to sit yourself down and say, and it's not, I feel like now we turn the interview. And it's not an interview. It's just, I keep asking questions because, like,
well, with that, I don't understand.
I can ask after the podcast, too.
I had to be aware of it, of what was going on. And you know, I was still doing drugs because, again, it was addictive. But then there was just like, it was like a moment. Oh, what is a come to light type of moment? Like, okay.
Did you move to one drug in particular at that time?
It was just crystal meth. Like,
okay.
Because coke wasn't doing it for me. Weed wasn't doing it for me. Alcohol wasn't doing it for me. While doing drugs, I became conscious that what I'm doing and aware that what I'm doing is not right. And it was just like, I had like a come to God type moment. Like, hey, help me. Like, just somebody get me out of this place. And ever since then, it's been a struggle. Not saying that I don't have any urges to, like, about the drug. Like, every now and then I would get an urge, but I'm able to
fight it now.
Yeah, I'm able to fight it. And I think being on the road constantly has been the thing that saved my life, for the simple fact that I'm never in one place for too long to where it can get me. And while I'm on the road, I'm learning to re-love myself, learning to deal with my demons and my issues. And I'm learning to meet myself where I'm at and go from there. Like,
hold on, let me be the fat woman in the back of the church. You're speaking good. You're speaking good.
But yeah, it's hard. 'Cause like, dealing with mental issues, dealing with, you know, paranoia and psychosis, and being by myself is probably like the best thing that ever has happened to me. And I'm learning, you know, hey, it's time to get you together again, get back on the right track, figure some shit out. Because if you ain't willing,
if you don't turn this into a song,
what?
This sound like you should write a song for like Fantasia to sing or something. I had to learn to love myself again. I seen the beauty of myself again, 'cause I'm beautiful.
I can't stand you.
But I guess we can wrap this episode up too.
Okay.
Hold up, wait, before we wrap the episode up, Edmund, you better come back for more episodes.
Of course.
I'm gonna find you on that damn truck no matter where it's at, and I'm gonna kick your ass. I don't care if you're in California. I don't care if you're in New Mexico. I don't care if you're in fucking Delaware. And I've never been to fucking Delaware. And I don't,
it's a small state.
You've been there, haven't you?
I've been through it.
That's so. Who the fuck goes to Delaware? And fuck Delaware? Fuck you. Fuck you, Delaware. No, I don't know if somebody from Delaware is listening, but
we love you, Delaware.
Nobody wants to go to Delaware. Is that a blue or red state?
I have no clue. I just know it's in between, like, Philadelphia.
Look at me jumping around, but any last things you want to say to them?
One thing I want to say, live in your truth. Like, honestly and truly, like, who gives three fucks about what someone has to say about you, what someone thinks about you, what somebody feels about you, what they feel you should or should not be doing? Because at the beginning, middle, and end of the day, they don't pay your bills. They don't live your life. They don't understand what's going on behind closed doors. And you don't really have to answer to anyone but yourself. If whatever you're doing makes you happy and you're being safe about it, then do it. You know,
how about you at me next time? How about you ask at me next time before you make that comment? Because I felt very targeted.
I'm sorry.
Well, the only thing I have to say now is I do appreciate all reviews and subscriptions. So thank you. If you have any questions you want answered on air, you can always send that over. And thank you for listening.
Hi, guys. Bye, guys.
Please remember to subscribe for future episodes and follow us on Instagram at Awkward Tea Podcast. If you have any questions you'd like answered on a future episode or want to potentially be a future guest, shoot us a DM. And until our next awkward encounter,